Lynn Edelman, welcome to KABU. Lynn Edelman is a federal judge in the Eastern District of Wisconsin. He's always been a fighting liberal, supporting economic, social, and civil rights for all, one of the last liberal judges appointed in the Clinton administration. He writes articles not on technical issues of the law, rather he writes on politics and the court and the importance of court decisions on the politics and daily life, particularly of working people. All of his work is completely accessible, some in law reviews, others in generally left or sort of literary journals. His latest article is an evaluation of the Roberts Court. It's titled, Courageously, The Roberts Court Assault on Democracy. Roberts is, of course, the Chief Justice of today's U.S. Supreme Court. The article will be published in the Harvard Review of Law and Policy in the next several months, and it avoids, again, technical language, and it's perfectly accessible to popular audiences. In the article, Judge Edelman contends that today's court, the Roberts Court, is built on the conservative values and jurisprudence of the Berger and Rehnquist courts before him, all three moving to undermine the gains made by working people through the New Deal, the 30s and 40s and mid-century America, and also the civil rights movement, that these gains were democratizing, and that conservative courts since the 70s have reversed this trend and instead, in case after case after case, have weakened the capacity of working people to organize and be heard, and at the same time increased the power of the rich and corporations. So, Judge Edelman, let's go through the Roberts Court assault on democracy, starting with voting rights and then getting into how decisions by the Roberts Court and some before them, the conservative courts, increased inequality, strengthened corporate power, and weakened working class power to organize and participate and have their voice heard.
Well, I wanted to write about the Roberts Court generally and what it's doing with respect to important issues of equality and democracy. And I think a particularly glaring example of some real, decisions that are not at all helpful to democracy. In fact, you could argue really subvert it, are its decisions in the voting rights area. And I mean, I think when we start talking about voting rights and the court, the Roberts Court, I think that probably the best place to start is with the decisions regarding the Voting Rights Act. Now, the Voting Rights Act was passed by Congress in 1965. Basically, the idea was to protect minority voting rights. And in a sense, it was an effort to keep a promise made 100 years earlier in the 15th Amendment. The idea there was after the Civil War, three important amendments were adopted. The 13th, which dealt with slavery, the 14th, which basically dealt with equal protection and due process, and then the 15th, which dealt with voting rights. And those amendments, for a variety of complicated reasons, were never enforced to the extent that I think that the Reconstruction Congress, which passed them, intended them to be. And so the Voting Rights Act in 1965 was sort of an effort to, I guess, belatedly keep the promise of the 15th Amendment. And the idea was to protect minority voting rights. It was a landmark statute. Many people thought it was the most important and effective civil rights law ever passed in this country. And basically, the court's decisions have really undermined it a great deal, the Roberts Court's decisions. I think the first one to be talking about is the Shelby County case, Shelby County versus Holder. It basically was an effort to renew the Voting Rights Act. And Congress had done a great deal of research and compiled an extensive legislative history and evidence of the need to reinstate or to continue the Voting Rights Act, and particularly the part of the Voting Rights Act known as preclearance. And what that preclearance statute did was basically it said that certain states and certain municipalities which had had histories of not protecting minority voting rights and, in fact, undermining minority rights had to get permission either from the attorney general or from a three-judge court before they could make any changes in their voting laws. The idea was to actually provide some additional protection for minorities in areas which had histories of not being very concerned about minority voting rights. The case went to the U.S. Supreme Court, and basically the Supreme Court, in an opinion written by the Chief Justice, and again, it was, I believe, a 5-4 decision, where most of these decisions are 5-4. And it basically struck down the reinstatement of, I think it's Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act, which dealt with this preclearance. And basically what the majority said was that times had changed and these protections weren't necessary anymore. And voting discrimination was a thing of the past, and we really didn't need this kind of, overseeing of certain states and localities. And, you know, the effect of this was, I mean, the very day that the Supreme Court announced its decision, I think some states, Texas, I think, put into effect a voter ID statute. Other municipalities and states reinstated laws that would never have been allowed under the preclearance provisions. And so basically, though, the Supreme Court in their decision just ignored all the evidence that Congress had compiled. So it was a very sort of activist kind of decision. And it had a very negative impact. Another case dealing with the Voting Rights Act was a case known as Abbott. And what it did was it dealt with racial gerrymandering in Texas by the state legislature. And a three-judge bench in Texas, three federal judges, and I know that they were appointed by different presidents of different political parties, and basically they compiled a very extensive record taking testimony. I think that evidence took years, and they decided that there was a racial gerrymander by the Texas legislature in constructing the legislative districts in Texas, and they struck it down. And then that case also went to the Supreme Court, and once again in a 5-4 decision, the Roberts Court ignored all the evidence that had been compiled by the three-judge bench and basically made some law suggesting that there was there should be a presumption that legislatures act in good faith on these issues. The upshot of the Abbott versus Perez, I think was the name of it, is that it's going to be very difficult for plaintiffs to establish racial gerrymandering in the future. So this is another case that really undermined the whole point of the Voting Rights Act, which was to make sure that minority voting rights were protected.
Yeah, there's also, they've supported the purges, right? Basically, the Supreme Court is in ridiculous decisions, actually. It's amazing how they find sort of facts out of the air and assume they're somehow true, like in the purges in Ohio, for example. There was a challenge to purging Ohio voters who hadn't voted in the last election. Ohio is just trying to get rid of black voters in Cleveland and northern Ohio, and working class voters, too, are areas where they concentrate Democratic voters. Tell us a little bit about the purges.
Well, the key case on that was a 2018 decision, and the case was called Husted versus A. Philip Randolph Institute. This is another 5-4 decision, and what it did is it involved Ohio, more than any other state, does these massive voter purges. The alleged idea is to have people who are not eligible to vote taken off the voting rolls. What Ohio does is if a voter doesn't vote regularly, they use that as evidence that the voter has moved and thus should be eliminated from the voting list. There's a national statute on this, again, passed in the 60s, I believe, National Voter Registration Act, and that bars any state from removing a registrant by reason of the person's failure to vote. Basically, the law recognizes that some people don't vote that often, and maybe they only vote in elections where they're very interested, but there's no reason that they should be prevented from voting because they don't vote often. But according to the court, Ohio's purge passed muster because it was not triggered by a failure to vote, said the court, but it was merely used as evidence that the person had moved. And the effect of this also was, I think, in some of the big cities where there's large African-American population in Ohio, Cleveland, and I believe Akron, Cincinnati, Columbus, many, many African-Americans were struck from the voting rolls. And again, it undermines people's right to vote, which is the basic fundamental. If there's anything more fundamental to democracy than the right to vote, I'm not sure what it is.
Yeah, this is KBOO Radio, 90.7 FM, Portland, Oregon. Bill Resnick here for the Old Mole Variety Hour. I'm talking to Judge Lynn Edelman of the Eastern District of Wisconsin. He wrote the article, The Roberts Court Assault on Democracy, to be published in the Harvard Journal on Law and Policy soon. We discussed how the John Roberts-led Supreme Court has eviscerated the U.S. Voting Rights Act. Again, that was part one. Next week, or perhaps later in December, we will play part two on the Roberts Court decisions, those that supported corporate power and enriched the rich while undermining the power and prospects of the great majority. So stay tuned to the Old Mole every Monday at 9 on KBOO, telling truth to power.
Order in the court!
Thank you, thank you. I want no shenanigans in my courtroom. Please bring on the first case.